The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On Tuesday's show, our tech correspondent Jess Kelly told us how Tesla have settled a case taken by the family of a man who died in a road traffic accident while his Tesla car was in autonomous mode. So we'll never hear the arguments in court about what went wrong and how. Was it some failure on the part of the driver who allegedly was playing a video game at the time of the crash, or a failure of the technology or the software? Now, Luke O'Neill spends a lot of time in the US where the autonomous car is becoming a more common sight on the roads. And Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, joins me now. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you have been there. You've seen this
in action. I have. It's a fascinating topic, but isn't it? Anyway, will we ever get to the stage when all cars are driverless? You know, but there's three cities in America now. San Francisco is the big one, actually. Waymo is in San Francisco, and they've got driverless taxis. And you go on your phone, Pat, with an app.
Yeah.
Like Uber. A car arrives with no driver. You climb in and off it goes, you know. So it's becoming a reality. But of course, the big question is, how extensive is it going to be?
Okay. Have you tried it?
I haven't. The reason why, I met a guy last week who did. Yes, he told me all about it. I think he was in Phoenix, the other city. And he said it was mind-blowing, getting into this strange, quiet vehicle. It's electric as well. And that takes off. It doesn't go very fast. But he said about 20 miles an hour type speed. He sits in the back. He's watching a movie. And he said, just weird. And he says to me, this has to be the future. And that got me interested. To dig into it a bit more and see where it's at.
Now, you can imagine that when you step onto one of these vehicles in an airport, which is on tracks, and you might be alone in the carriage, it'd be that kind of feeling, except you've got the comfort of knowing it's on rails and it's being controlled by some control room somewhere.
Yeah. It's unnerving, he said to me, because it's very quiet. It was dark, you know. It's a bit like a futuristic little spaceship that's moving along, you know, quite silently. And he says, it's just weird not to have it. And of course, his fear was, is it safe? And that's the major question that they're addressing.
I think Harlan Coben wrote a thriller about cars that have minds of their own and go
and take over.
AWOL. Yeah, and they take over. But bring us back to the early history of all of this.
Yeah, the US military, now again, we don't want to give them too much credit, but they're often responsible for new technologies. The whole computer revolution, as you may know, was driven by military investment. And back in the 2000s, they put a competition out. Could you get a driverless vehicle? They said $1 million prize. And all they were looking for, Pat, was one that would trundle in the desert. They weren't looking for a vehicle in the city, you know, to remotely control.
Well, of course, people got excited about this.
That galvanized people. Everybody then begins to wonder, is it possible? Huge amount of competition starts on making driverless cars. So that was about 20 years ago is when it begins. And then, of course, it's artificial intelligence, Pat, remember, is the secret. And I think a very important statement. This is AI's biggest test, they say now. If AI can't crack driverless cars, what can it crack? In other words, is it just too much hype? And obviously, it's a big challenge to get AI into these vehicles.
Now, the big thing is safety and the promise of safety. If cars are being driven by machines, which are much more reliable than human beings, they say, then you could cut the worldwide road deaths.
Yeah, that's the serious part. So there's 1.25 million people die every year on the roads. And as you know, in Ireland, Pat, there's 61 deaths this year. This will get rid of that because they don't drink, they don't speed, you know, they follow the rules, and these vehicles should be at much lower risk of causing accidents. And that's the ultimate prize, to stop that level of that death toll on the roads.
Now, Uber started the ball rolling and they had a system which was great and the promise of safety and all of that. Dangling in front of the public, what happened?
They did. They invested heavily, Pat, by the way. I mean, billions have been spent on this. It's incredible if you look at the total investment to try and make these things a reality. And Uber got in early and they bought loads of allegedly driverless cars to develop them. Their goal was to replace the Uber drivers, of course. And in America, Pat, it's remarkable. You get an Uber within a minute now in any big city in America, because obviously civilians can use Uber.
Sure.
So they wanted to replace those drivers in a driverless format, but they've just backed out of it. There's been a couple of accidents lately, as you
Now, Elaine Hertzberg in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, that was a big one. Yeah. So the problem is, can you put into the car information to suss any sort of situation on the roads? And that woman tragically was killed. She was cycling a bicycle and there was shopping hanging off her handlebars.
Yeah.
And that confused
the machine didn't know what it was.
The shopping was swinging away. She was cycling along and didn't read it as a woman on a bicycle, but with shopping bags swinging. In other words, that wasn't in the algorithm. Got was killed,
Bang.
Knocked over and killed. And that tells us, can you program the car for any eventuality?
There's another company, Cruise, which was bought by General Motors. They wanted to develop autonomous vehicles. What happened?
Well, again, with them now, so General Motors, Pat, they bought Cruise for $500 million in cash, right? And Cruise said, we will make driverless cars for General Motors. And Cruise are one of the companies, by the way, that are putting robo-taxis, they're called, into these cities. Cruise have now backed out. Again, they said, hang on, it's too early for us to be implementing these so-called robo-taxis. I looked it up, Pat. You know, General Motors last year made $170 billion profit. So $500 million, it wasn't a huge amount of money at that level.
Yeah.
But clearly all the big car companies are trying to get into this. But Cruise have said, we're going to have to take a step back here.
Because they also whacked into someone.
That was a funny one. So they had software that said, if something untoward is happening, the car will move to the right. The trouble is, a woman was knocked over by another car into the path of the driverless car, and it ran. She didn't die, mercifully, but still, that was an unexpected consequence of the turning right idea of something untoward is happening.
And we talked about the Tesla situation where they were being sued, but they settled in court, so we don't really know what they feel went wrong. But they did have a recall of vehicles, didn't they?
2 million. But the trouble is with these things, but the commercials say they can overstate the promise, can't they? And Tesla were claiming to have an autonomous vehicle, but of course it wasn't fully autonomous. The driver still had to be there. And the software, again, was slightly sort of questioned by themselves, and they've taken back 2 million cars. Isn't that incredible? So the investment that they've lost from having to recall 2 million Teslas just shows you.
The one Tesla car saw a picture of a stop sign on a billboard and stopped.
Yeah, there was two examples. One was that it misinterpret stop signs. The second one was that it misinterpreted a yellow moon as an amber traffic light. So they couldn't build that into the car either. And the thing is that they are going quite slow, but they keep stopping, you know, in the wrong place. And that's what causes rear-ending is a feature. Yeah. Nobody's dying, but there's rear-ending happening.
Also, normal human behaviour is that someone might run an amber light, for example. The autonomous car will not. It'll stop dead. So you've got a fleet of cars all trying to make it through the amber. The one in the middle is an auto taxi. It'll stop and bang, 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 bang.
Well, I have to admit, Pat, I don't drive. Isn't that a terrible admission? But you do. I believe driving is a social activity as well. You're reading the other drivers and trying to get the nuance, especially on a roundabout and things like that. You know, so in other words, there's more going on than just a machine driving down a road. You're reading what's going on the whole time. It's a very high level human activity is to try to second guess what other drivers are doing. It's very hard to build that into the software, it turns out. So as a result, they're bringing in social scientists now to help them design the programs in the cars to be able to anticipate the nuance of human behavior.
Now, in San Francisco, they've had a lot of trouble with these vehicles when their emergency vehicles can't get by one that has stopped. Yep. For a very good AI reason, it has stopped. But it's blocking the way.
It's blocking the way. That's Waymo, where the company who provide the robo-taxis in San Francisco. And the San Francisco Fire Department have lodged 55 complaints against Waymo for these kinds of things. A big one that got me, Pat, was some of the driverless cars were stopping outside the fire station and the fire truck couldn't get out because it stopped there. You know, a second one was, as we've just discussed, it's stopping in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that was impeding a fire truck from getting to an emergency situation. You know,
you never know what you're going to come across on the road. You're round a bend and it might be, for example, cow patties on the road and potential to skid. It could be in America, it could be a black bear that's running out of the forest. And so how do you program for AI?
Well,
every possibility that might occur on the roads.
But let's be slightly more hopeful, Pat. They're still investing billions in this to stop all the deaths for a start, but also to make things more efficient. And so it's not as if they've given up. But you're quite right. How many variables, as we call them, can you stick into the algorithm so that the car can anticipate things? But they're trying. And then remember, Pat, there's machine learning, as you know. AI can learn as it goes along. So let's say you've 5,000 robo-taxis out there at the moment. It'll feed information back into headquarters about different incidents, and that will teach the next robo-taxi to change its behaviour in a certain set of circumstances. The only question is, how long will this take to get them up to a sufficient safety level for it to be feasible?
It's funny, there are some things that you think might be really suitable, like on motorways. You can have dedicated truck lanes where there are autonomous trucks, you know, where drivers run out of hours and so on. They have to pull in and sleep in the cab and all the rest of it. But you could have autonomous vehicles going from Texas to Alaska.
You could.
On a highway corridor. That's
the next thing. What they're predicting is there'll be like bus lanes, effectively. They'll just be for driverless vehicles. And then eventually truck lanes across interstate, for instance. That's happening. There's 23 states in America, Pat, actively exploring that, you know. So in other words, it is a very active area. So the first time we'll see it properly probably is in dedicated lanes. And then the markings have to be precise on the road.
Yeah.
And then you might ramp up. But we're talking 5, 10, 15 years away then, probably, or more, for you to be able to have your car to be completely driverless.
Would you have confidence in getting into one of these things, do you think?
I don't know. Would you? I'm not sure about it.
But the scientist in you would want to try it.
Oh, I would. I'd definitely give it a go. Oh, I would, absolutely. And my mate who got in it, he didn't like it. He said to me he felt a bit uneasy. But I'd give it a go, wouldn't you? You'd have to give it a go. It's only going 20 miles an hour, so it can't be that dangerous, can it?
They might let it proceed with the man with the red flag walking in front of it.
Exactly right. Was that in the 1900s when cars were the first thing they insisted on a red flag in front of the car? That might be the next step in the process.
Anyway, the status quo is not working because of the number of road deaths.
Exactly. That's a serious point. And in Ireland, as we well know, this year 61 deaths, and this will get rid of that. The second big one, Pat, by the way, is no need for parking. They're moving all the time, these robo-taxis, and they drop you off and keep moving. So there's no need to have space dedicated to parking in cities. That's a big advantage as well. So there's a number of huge advantages if they can crack it, you know?
Yeah. When you think of drone technology, for example, the little, you know, domestic drones, when they're running out of battery, they return to base before they can run out. So the same would apply to the taxi. If it's running short of juice, it won't offer itself for hire.
Exactly, yes. And that's built into it. Those things don't have to be straightforward. It's the human behaviour is the challenge. That's really where they're at. Can they get a system to respond properly to human behaviour is the trick.
All right. I don't know. Drug dealing by autonomous taxi. Oh, all that.
There's all kinds of questions.
Sort of stuff. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.